I don't know where I want to go. When you get into a car at night and you turn on the headlights only go about 20 feet in front of you. It doesn't go all the way to your destination. And so what? You're not going to move forward because you're like, well, I can't see the destination. Like that he showers at least once a day.
That's bare minimum.
I do that for the most part. But if I have a day that I don't work out and I didn't really sweat at all.
You're still dirty. You're still shedding skin flakes and getting dirty. And I don't want the skin flakes on the sheets. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but.
You just might not have a girlfriend.
Correct.
Hoopty whoopty.
Hoopty hoopty.
I like your fit today.
Thank you. I haven't pulled this sweater out in a while.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like grandpa.
Sweater. Grandma chic with your like maple leaf Birkenstocks, but not even Birkenstocks, like off-brand Birkenstocks.
They're Ted Baker. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, Ted.
Off-brand.
Sorry.
How dare.
Yeah. I that was no offense. That's funny.
Micah doesn't know anything about fashion.
No, I don't. So don't get offended.
No, these were a hand-me-down. So
I take no credit for these. I feel like you just were given those.
Yeah.
You didn't get them at the free store?
No, I did not get them at the free store.
So in Broadhead, Wisconsin, shout out Broadhead. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm from. There is a literal store that is called the free store.
It's not called the free store? It's called the community closet.
Which everything in there is free.
Yeah, everything is free.
It's not like a Goodwill thing where everything is like cheap.
Yeah.
It's free.
It's free.
Literally, you go in there and then you take what you want and then you leave.
My only Packer shirt is from there.
You got a few things from there.
And I only have it because it was free. So if you ever see me wearing a Packer shirt, it was free. yeah, I do.
Yeah, we got to get some Packers, if you're watching this, because I'm sure you are, and you want to, send us some Packer gear. I am a bad Packer fan. I only have one T-shirt,
and it was also free,
and it was also given to me by a friend who is a Vikings fan, who obviously was not going to wear it. So need some more Packer gear.
We also have a Packer hat from those same friends.
No, I bought that. Oh, you're right. But I did. Okay,
you, yes,
I did
buy that Packer. You did buy a hat. Though. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Oh man.
And I have no Chiefs gear, so.
Yeah, you're an avid Chiefs fan. You are from Kansas, though. Yeah. It's not like you're a bandwagoner.
No.
You're actual Chiefs fan.
I'm from Kansas.
You're not only a Chiefs fan in the past, like, four. You're not just a Chiefs fan over the past 4 or 5 years because they are winning
100%
Super Bowls.
100% I am. I am a bandwagoner.
Yeah. But you're also from Kansas.
Yeah. I'm like,
if you were to root for an NFL team,
that would make the most sense.
Yeah.
Just so happens that they're on a great streak.
Yeah. You all of a sudden have cared now in the past. Like,
it's not even that they're doing well. It's that you care more.
Yeah, that's true.
Even if you didn't care, I wouldn't know Jack. I probably wouldn't even know who Patrick Mahomes was.
I didn't. Yeah. And I never was a big, like, I never used to care as much as I do now. I don't really like care that much. I'm probably at a 6 on a scale. Like if the Packers lose, my day isn't ruined.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. It's just like, shoot. All right. You know, like it doesn't really affect my life in that way. Mm-hmm. But as of late, I've gotten more into it because some of our friends are very like avid fans.
Totally.
And so it just makes me want to be a part of that kind of culture.
It's a fun social thing.
It is.
I think it's an excuse to get together with friends, which I like.
I've never been to an NFL game.
Really? I thought we just discovered that you had.
No, I have never been to an NFL game. Oh, wait. Yes. Shoot. You're right. Went to a Tampa.
Yeah.
Tampa Buccaneers.
There we go.
That's right. We went to a Buccaneers game.
Yeah, that was impromptu.
That was very impromptu.
I don't even remember who they played.
I don't know either.
But yeah, it was fun. It was very fun.
Yeah. But I've never been to a Packer game. I know that for sure.
I've been to that Bucks game and I've been to a Cowboys game. That was cool. Cowboy Stadium is cool.
Oh, that would be cool. I really want to go to Lambeau.
Yeah.
That would be.
To plan a trip?
That'd be baller.
Well, should we dive into some of these questions?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we took a poll from our Instagram and asked our audience, you guys, for some questions and topics, and we got some really good ones. And so we're just going to kind of go through and answer them.
Okay. This first one is in regards to the search for and hardships of finding a God-led relationship.
Okay. What's the question?
So I think it's meaning like, when you're on the hunt for a relationship and you want your partner to have the same hunger for the Lord that you do, like the journey of finding that and, and maybe some of the bumps along the way.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Go.
I think the most difficult part, and this is just from speaking with peers, speaking with friends, I think the most difficult part is when you're in a place where you're ready for, you want a long-term relationship, you want to be married. It's having the patience to wait for the person who is going to fulfill those non-negotiables. And almost feeling like you have to compromise those things sometimes, especially if the people around you don't have as strong of standards as you and maybe make you feel like you're being a little too, you're looking for someone who's a little too perfect.
Right.
When in reality, you just have non-negotiable pillars that you want someone to care about in order, or it doesn't make sense to marry them, you know? So I think it's having the patience to not compromise when you're in the hunt for that right relationship. And
it can be difficult to do,
especially
if you're in a long season of singleness and you're just like, I just don't want to be alone anymore.
100%.
I mean, I was single for a lot of my life until I met you, really. I had one serious girlfriend for about 9 months in high school. And then after that was pretty single until, you, no like serious relationships up until you. Like, I wasn't about to say I'm boyfriend and girlfriend with somebody unless I saw a future with them. And so that was something that was hardcore. And a part of that was having a faith foundation. Yeah. That was something that was really important to me. Mm-hmm. And if somebody didn't share the same faith right off the bat, no problem. We'll be good friends. But it just wasn't, it didn't make sense for me to pursue that, because especially, you know, pursue something in hoping that you would change somebody.
That's another key, I think.
Like this person will come around to it eventually if I, you know, just show them the way.
Right.
I just, like it sounds a little exhausting.
Like if they love me enough, they'll come around.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think it's a good idea to go into any relationship thinking you'll change them in any way, whether, you know, it doesn't have to be faith, but just in any way.
For sure. And this is like obviously a little bit dramatic, but I've been deep in the Old Testament lately and
woof.
And so it's just
a light read.
Yeah. Yeah. This question made me think of, you know, the whole like Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham being given the promise that he would be the father of a great nation, but they're in their 90s and they're not having any kids. So then Sarah's like, here, take my slave. She'll be the way that we have a kid. And which obviously maybe we don't do that.
Yeah.
but I think it's when God's timing is seeming like it's taking too long. It's such human nature for us to be like, I'm just gonna take this into my own hands. And like, this is taking too long. So I'm gonna mold this person to be the person who I'm supposed to be with. Even if you know deep down that they're not, or there are elements that you're like, this could be better aligned, but is that ever gonna come along? I don't know. You know, so then you're kind of trying to force this person to be that thing, which I think if you have a relationship with God and you really dive into spending time with him and you talk to him about these things, he will reveal the right paths for you. And you will know in your heart that someone is, it's probably not right, or that it is.
Yeah.
When that person comes along. And obviously there's difference between like our human feelings and the inclinations that we have from God, which can be hard to discern those things, which is why we have to spend constant quiet time with God. So we learn the difference, and that's a whole other topic. But I think just that as humans, we're impatient and we want things in our timeline.
So what would you say to somebody who's in that season? Because that can be difficult, of just being like, am I being too picky at this point? This person has enough, you know, maybe this one thing that's a non-negotiable, but you know, it's close enough where I can, you know, probably just let that skate by. How do you discern hearing from God or discerning that? It's like, I was like, I guess that's the end of the question, but I didn't go up.
Yeah, but your intonation did not tell me that was the end of the question.
All right, okay. So the question being, how can you trust in God's timing more? as opposed to your own timing, when it seems like the timing has been going on long enough.
Totally.
And so is it a God's timing thing, or is it a, I need to maybe fix something in me and figure out something?
In the context of searching for a relationship, and obviously, again, this is just my own experience, but going back to, we have to learn what God's voice in our life sounds like, because it's different for everyone. How you hear the Holy Spirit moving in you is different than me, you know? So we have to become attuned to what that sounds like in our life, number one. And how do we do that? We spend quiet time with God, and probably a lot of that quiet time is like, we don't hear anything. And that can be frustrating too. Again, a whole other conversation, but it's that learning.
It doesn't have to be a whole other conversation. We can go wherever we want.
I guess
this, this is our podcast. The world is our oyster. We have control here. We could do a 2-hour podcast. Doesn't matter.
We don't do that to you.
Yeah.
But I think that's a big part of it. That was really big for me. And then I think the other part of it is, no one's going to be, and again, this is in the context of looking for a relationship. When it comes to other goals, there are different things, you know, but when it comes to trying to find your person who you want to spend your life with, I think that there are certain things that it's like, this, if something's a non-negotiable, it's a non-negotiable. Otherwise you don't call it a non-negotiable, you know? And for someone who wants their partner to share their same faith foundation, that's a non-negotiable. So it's like, if this person is on the fence about their faith foundation, then I'm just not going to be a fit, and that's okay. But if it's like, you know, there are other elements in which you can compromise, where it's like, I was trying to think. I was going to say something about cleanliness. That's the first thing that came to mind. But honestly, you've really grown in your cleanliness.
Cleanliness. Like that he showers at least once a day.
That's bare minimum, please.
I do that for the most part, but if I have a day that I don't work out and I didn't really sweat at all, and I just kind of like sat around the house and didn't do much,
you're still dirty. You're still shedding skin flakes and getting dirty. And I don't want the skin flakes on the sheets. Try to keep the sheets as clean as possible.
Okay. Put in the chat right now, if it's absolutely a non-negotiable that you should shower every day, or if a day that you don't really sweat or stink at all, you can wait. You can wait a day to shower.
I mean, you can do whatever you want, but
you just might not have a girlfriend.
Correct.
Well, hey, I got you, and you're like Cleanly McCleanserson over here.
That is my nickname, Cleanly McCleanserson.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's going back to the meat here.
You mean this meat?
Yes, exactly.
Here, let me get the mic down here. There we go.
I feel like I had to lean as well. I don't know why I was
ASMR.
Leaning. Yeah. So there are things that you can compromise on, and then there are things that you can't. And just because the people around you are willing to compromise doesn't mean that you need to feel like you need to. I think that's also very big. Yeah. Because it's not the most common to be like, no, I want my partner to share my faith foundation. And that's a non-negotiable. It's not the most common thing. So if the people that you're surrounded by don't have that same standard, it's okay. It doesn't mean your standard is too high.
So figure out what your non-negotiables are. And write them down, and then just stick to those.
Yeah. And pray over those things with God. And even you can ask God, like, God, is this, I feel that this is a non-negotiable for me. And maybe it's obviously not with your faith foundation, but if there are other things where it's like,
I want him to have at least a 6-pack.
I was like, or 8-pack. What are you about to say?
I mean, we could go there too. I said 6-pack,
right.
Not 6 inches.
Hey, stop.
What?
This is family friendly.
We're all adults.
But take those things to God, you know, and he'll help create clarity around those things. You ready for the next question?
Sure.
Sir. This actually kind of leads into something that, or it's something that segues from something that you said earlier. Mm. This woman was asking about how to encourage my husband to join like the self-growth, the personal growth life.
Oh, okay.
Meaning,
so this is a woman ask, or a wife asking, like, how can you get your husband to
like want to personally grow?
Sure. I mean, this actually happened in our life where she wanted me to personally grow in a specific area, and she tried the whole, hey, can you do this?
I tried to berate
yeah.
and make him feel real bad. That didn't work.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she, the one tactic was telling me what she wanted me to do and what I should do. And that didn't, that made me just shut down. And, you know, maybe other guys would take that and be like, you know what, you're right and go for it. But I think a lot of guys would just kind of shut down or get angry or, you know, get defensive for sure.
Yeah.
But so what she ended up doing instead was she just prayed harder. She ended up praying for me and led by example. And by leading by example and prayer and the combination of the two, then I saw the example that she was setting for me. Eventually, like the spirit yeah. stirred in me and made me and convicted me and made me want to jump on board and kind of lead in that capacity as well. Mm-hmm. But I had to come to that with my realization.
Absolutely.
And make that decision for me.
Yes.
As opposed to be told what to do. Because when you do things out of obligation, there's no conviction there.
Right.
There's no conviction out of obligation.
Right.
You have to want to do the choices or the decisions that, and then, you know, there are certain things that are just responsibility that you don't necessarily want to do right. that you just have to do, like being a father or, you know, different responsibilities. But if it is out of obligation, there's going to be very little conviction and follow through
yeah.
of doing anything.
Right. Yeah, for the long term. Let's see. This one is, I've been trying to really get into faith/the Bible. How do I lean into it plus be able to understand his word?
Go for it.
This is like understanding his word comes from becoming familiar with it and allowing him to reveal to you what it's time for you to understand in the season that you're in and the learnings that he has for you dependent upon that season. So again, how many times can I say this? This is just my experience.
you probably don't have to say it anymore. Like at this point, people probably know it's from your experience. it's our opinion. I
always feel the need to preface.
I know, I do too. Like I always feel like, in my opinion,
right.
I feel yes. like I have to say that. Otherwise, because I don't want to come off as like all knowing. Because
be
I
all.
Definitely don't know anything.
Nothing at all.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody that's speaking on a podcast, they're sharing their opinion
right.
on something.
And their experience.
Yeah, based off of their experiences. And that's all we can do. We're not yeah. going to sit here and pretend that we know everything and we have all the answers because we definitely don't. We are just sharing from our life experience,
yeah.
what we've been through, and what we have seen and think that could be beneficial.
For sure. So thank you for that.
Are you warm? I'm starting to get warm. I'm going to put the AC
on.
I'm going to put the AC on.
Okay.
But you can tell them your thoughts while I put on the AC.
Okay. I think a lot of the time when people want to, when they're in the time of like, okay, I really want to get into my faith. I want to build my relationship with God. They sort of wait for this like spiritual feeling. When those kind of the feelings, quote unquote, come from the consistency of the building of your relationship with him. So I think when you decide that you want to commit to building a relationship with your creator, then you have to schedule it in your schedule. So it's like, okay, this is going to be my time with him every day. It's going to be at 8 a.m. or it's going to be at 10 p.m. or it's going to be at 1 p.m. You know, whatever works for you, you just choose it and you stay consistent with it because that's how you start. That's how you build a relationship with anyone is you spend consistent time with them and you're intentional about getting to know them and vice versa and listening and, you know, having conversations. So putting it in your schedule, I think, even though sometimes it feels like that shouldn't be what your relationship with God is like, I have found that it has to be that way, especially at the beginning when you want to build consistency. So then I think when you keep that consistency, you will start again, you will learn what it is for you to hear from him. And before you read your Bible, you say some kind of prayer that resonates with you about like, Lord, you know, that this is revealed to me what I need for today. reveal to me what I, how I can, what I can take from your word that I can bless someone else with today. You know, like what do I need for today? What do I need to learn? Is there something, I don't know, we pray all the time, like reveal our character defects to us. Like whatever it is that you're looking to glean, ask him to help you. So you say that prayer before you dive into the word, and then you read the word. And I think also not having so much pressure of like, okay, I'm going to get through a chapter a day. Like mm-hmm. maybe you don't get through a chapter a day. There've been times where I'm like, okay, I'm going to read this amount of the Bible in this time and honestly get nothing from it because I'm rushing through it. And I, maybe a verse resonates with me, but I'm like, I got to power through this because I said I would finish this amount in this time. And then I miss out on what he probably had for me if I had stopped and meditated on that verse. You know, maybe you get three verses in and the third verse you read is like, oh, something about that struck me or confused me. And I kind of want to meditate on it or maybe look up a word or whatever it may be. So then maybe you read three verses that day, but you got something, God revealed something to you that you need to work on, or he helped you in some way just from meditating on that verse. So I think not putting so much pressure on ourselves to like finish a certain amount in a certain time is really key. That's always been helpful for me when I can just like, I'm going to stop where I feel led to stop and meditate on something so that I can actually get something from it versus just reading a chapter to say that I read the chapter.
It's reading to learn versus reading to read.
Yeah.
You can just, if you can read a book a day, but you don't learn anything, what's the point? You can have a whole library of books that you read and be no wiser.
This is very true.
You're winded.
I'm winded.
Well, you're speaking, you speak fast. You good? You need a breather?
Need water.
Take some water. Alkaline. Ooh, okay. With electrolytes.
Why do I feel as though I've been running miles when I'm just sitting here talking?
You speak with such intensity that I think you forget to inhale.
Maybe.
I've noticed that before.
I mean, definitely when I speak in front of crowds, I'll be like.
Yeah.
At the end, I'm like, wow, I didn't breathe for that whole time. Ideas or tips during very busy seasons in marriage?
We don't have kids yet, so. All the parents are going to probably tune us out at that point.
Which is fair.
Which is totally fair. I would assume it will be the same when we, especially when we do have kids, yeah. is just being a master of your calendar. Mm. Of, I think, day by day, it's like, okay, what's on the agenda for tomorrow? What do we have to do? Schedule it in. Like,
yeah. Even you have if it's to, a few minutes.
Yeah. I know it's going to sound ridiculous, but scheduling in... Like when you're going to go to the gym, what I think those, like for me, going to the gym is a non-negotiable because it helps me put myself in a state that I can be a better husband, mm-hmm. a better future father. That is always going to be a non-negotiable because I always feel better afterwards, after a good hard workout or after just like if you don't have time for a workout, which everybody has time for a workout, you just have to figure out what time that is because you don't have to be in the gym for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
No.
You could do a really good workout in even 20 minutes.
You can do it at home.
To get the endorphins going. Yeah. If you don't want to get sweaty and you just have a 10-minute block, do breath work, you know, for a box breathing, you know, for count to four to inhale, hold for four, exhale for four. Hold for four, inhale for four, you know, or do some Wim Hof breaths, mm-hmm. you know, some deep, quick inhales, exhales for, you know, 30 of those, you will see, you will tell the difference. Yeah. And so that's a non-negotiable for me. So you have to figure out where that goes. So again, I think it comes down to what are the non-negotiables in your day, schedule those in, and then figure out the rest is kind of like filler. But if it's not in the calendar, it's not going to get done.
Yeah.
And we've been in very busy seasons. We both worked full-time jobs while building two different businesses outside of that. And so having a calendar to be like, okay, so 9 to 5, we're at work. So there, you know, that's that. And then from 5 to 10 or 5 to 11, we had to schedule out everything. Okay, I work out at this time. Okay, we film. Okay, we edit. Okay, we you know, do meetings for our e-commerce business. Okay, you know, so we had to really just be a master of the calendar. Otherwise, it's easy to just say, well, tomorrow I'll do it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'll do it. And then many tomorrows just pile up, and then a year goes by and you're like, wow, why didn't I make the progress that I wanted to make?
Yeah.
Because you said tomorrow I'll do it.
Yeah.
So do it now.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, Nike really crushed the motto or their slogan. Just do it. Just man, do it. That's a good slogan. Mm-hmm. That is such a good one. But it's true. Just do it. Like, do it now. Do it now. That should be somebody's, you know, whatever you're putting off, do it now. Instead of say that you're going to do it tomorrow, just do it today. Figure out a time. Figure out a day. Put it in your calendar. Boom. Do it. And you're going to start those wheels. Yeah. You're going to start that momentum.
I think when it comes to like relationship, because if you're in a very busy season in your marriage and, you know, you need some moments for your spouse,
quality time,
and prioritizing a relationship. I think even asking your spouse, like, what, because, you know, we both know we don't have much time. So what's going to make you feel attuned to, appreciated, heard, you know, what's that going to be for you? Maybe we only have 20 minutes, maybe some days five, you know, whatever it is, but like, what's the thing for you that's going to, you're going to help you know that you're a priority to me. And like, we're in this together, even though it's a very busy season and maybe we're not going to get the quality time that we would prefer. I think that's big as well. It's just knowing, being willing to ask your spouse, like, what can I do to make sure that you feel appreciated?
And it could be where it's like during lunch, phones are off or phones are on airplane mode and in the other room so that we spend lunch together with eye contact and connecting, because that's a boundary that we've had to kind of implement for ourselves.
Still,
and we're still working on that, figuring out what
it.
That is. But, you know, or it's just like, or it's having a date night once a week or once every other week, if it's a really busy season, but like schedule those in the month.
Yeah.
So that you have something to look forward to. You know, during this busy season, you at least know, okay, well, Saturday night, I have a date night with my husband.
Yeah.
The babysitters are arranged if you have kids, so that you can connect and you can, you know, refill up and go forward.
Yeah.
Date nights are big.
Yes, they are. They are. This is kind of along the same lines, actually, is how to be friends with your spouse.
Well, have fun.
Yeah.
Like what your other friends, what do you and your other friends do? Like your other good friends, close friends, people that you would call friends. Just have fun, laugh a lot, joke around. It doesn't have to be so serious. Life doesn't have to be so serious. You know, there's enough, we put enough pressure on ourselves and we're hard on ourselves enough as it is. So to create an environment at home that you can just be goofy and be yourself and keep things a little bit lighter will just help, I think, help make your life a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if work is stressful and, you know, and there's enough anxiety around to go around with just like, you know, paying the bills and the economy and the way the world is and all this stuff that we can get all wrapped up in. So to alleviate that with a little bit of fun, I know that's like, it sounds super, I don't know, hoity-toity, or like, okay, but like, tell me something like serious.
Yeah.
That is serious. Yeah. If you can learn to have fun in the busy seasons, in the stressful seasons, in the anxiety seasons, in the seasons that are not ideal, if you can have moments of laughter, then that will automatically make the better times and maybe the high times even better. And you're not going to be as swayed if you're really down in the down times and you're really up in the up times. Yeah. You're not going to have your emotions regulated as much. Mm-hmm. You're going to be swayed by circumstances as opposed to having joy throughout whatever season you're going to or going through.
Yeah.
Which is always easier to say
when
you're going through a better season.
Yeah.
You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but when I look back at really tough seasons of ours, like the miscarriage, your husband coming out, like your brother passing away,
parts of the pandemic for us and our relationship.
Yeah, that was a rough season for us. Mm-hmm. But you look back at those seasons and it's always because of those seasons, when you choose to grow through those, mm-hmm. it's what causes your capacity to grow.
Yeah.
And then you go through maybe a season of similar level.
Sure. Similar difficulty.
And it doesn't affect you as much.
Yeah.
Not because it's less, it's because you've grown.
Yeah.
And you've gotten stronger. It's, you know, it's like the gym, you know, benching for the first time ever. Like when I was, when I started working out in high school, it was hard for me to bench the bench.
Yeah.
Like that's how weak
bench
I was.
Bench the bench. That sounds quite hard actually.
Oh, the bench is actually pretty light, but bench the bar. Yes. Benching the bar when it was the first time I ever worked out was difficult.
Yeah.
I was a toothpick.
Yeah.
And now that's, you know, it's kind of like laughable to think back about that.
So, yeah. So
you know, cause I was so strong.
Benching the bar is hard for me still.
Well, all that being said is that whatever you're going through, if it is good or if it is bad, it's only temporary.
Yeah.
That has been my motto.
I
just
want
to continue to say it gives you more of an appreciation when you're going through a really good season of just being like, I know this isn't going to be forever. And so I'm going to take advantage of this and soak this in.
Yeah.
And if you're going through a really rough season and a hard season, that can also just be like, you know, this is a blip in time, you know? Our concept of time is always so skewed.
Yeah,
when you're going through a struggle or a rough season, it feels like forever.
Yes, it does.
But then you look back and, I mean, a year goes like that.
It does.
A year goes so
fast.
Already
almost March.
When we started posting on social media, it was 3 years ago. It feels like we just started doing this a year ago.
Like we're just kind of starting to figure it out.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But just a lot can happen in a short amount of time, and time goes quickly. And so it's always a little bit of a check-in to be like, you know, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm healthy, mm-hmm. be grateful. As hard as that always is, but it's you can't be grateful and bitter at the same time. You can't be grateful and...
Is it anxious that people say?
Grateful and anxious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably.
Makes sense to me if you're focused on gratitude and all the good things you have in your life that would quell your anxiety, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I also think just to add to like being friends with your spouse, I think an intentionality surrounding like we're on a date night, so we're not talking about like schedules or the logistics of life, you know, like when you, I feel like it's so
easy.
We've
had to do that because we're in business together and we do everything together, which is a blessing, but it can be easy to pawn that off as we already spend so much time together. You have to quantify what the quality time is.
Right.
Because we can spend a ton of time together, but actually no actual quality time.
Yeah.
Because we're just talking about business, talking about schedules, talking about what we need to do for the day.
Different hats that we wear, where it's like, okay, now we have on we're business partners hats. Now I have my wife hat on. So we're going to, that's how I'm speaking to you. That's what we're going to be focusing on. We don't have kids yet, but if you do, it's like, it's my mom hat coming at you from my mom angle, you know? So the intentionality behind being like dream with your spouse, you know, like talk about the future, like on a date night, don't just rehash what happened that day. Like talk about what you want a year from now, 5 years from now, like the dreams you have for your kids, you know, like whatever it may be. Just, I think dreaming is another thing that is like, it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a friendship dynamic.
How do you dream without it be like, I feel like a lot of people feel scared to dream because it feels like wishful thinking.
Either you're dreaming with the intention of it just kind of being a fun exercise, or you're dreaming and then you need to put action behind it. You have to figure out, okay, well, how do we do that? How do we make that the reality of our life? and then you come up with a plan, which I don't know. I also think that's kind of fun. Like I enjoy when we're like, okay, we want this a year from now. We want our lives to look like this 2 years from now, whatever it may be. And then coming up with a plan, I find actually to be very fun. And maybe that's how I'm wired, or just because of how I'm wired. But I think when you have a dream and you want to make it a reality, the planning of how to do that is very exciting, because then you're like, what can I do tomorrow that's going to get me one step closer to that dream that we talked about? So I think the dreaming of the dream itself and the vision you have for your life is one thing, but then the dreaming up of the plan to get there as well is another thing that can be maybe scary at first, but also fun and exciting, because if you're willing to put action behind what you want, you might not get it in the timeline that you want, just like we were talking about before. You probably won't. Nothing we've ever wanted has come in the timeline that we wanted it, but you'll get there. Mm-hmm. If you just take small steps every day.
If you're somebody who's like, I don't know what my purpose is, yeah, or what my dream is or what I want, just start with what are you good at and what do you like to do? Start there and start brainstorming on what to do with that. And start to pursue that. You just don't know. You have to be in movement, yeah, for God to open other doors.
Yeah.
Like there are other doors that he's ready to open for you, but you have to go to him and you have to start moving, and he'll open and close the doors. That's just what we believe and what we trust, that, you know, if we want something bad enough, we're just going to speak it. We're going to think about it on a daily basis. And we're going to put action behind it.
Right.
And then we'll see what happens.
Right.
Maybe we get it, but maybe God will open a different door that is actually meant to further our purpose in a bigger way that we had no idea about.
Yeah.
Like social media was never on our radar.
No.
I posted once a year, I think.
Maybe.
Maybe once or twice a year before that. Yeah. I had like 800 followers. And so this was never on my radar. When I saw influencers with like 100,000 followers, I was like, oh my gosh, this person's a famous. Right. And this person, like, I can't even imagine having that many followers.
No. Nor did I even want it.
Right.
I didn't even want that.
Yeah.
But that does just go to show that when you, and I think also asking for God's hand in what you're doing, because it's like, this is where I'm starting. I feel this is the next right step for me, but please reveal, like, take it and change it if need be, use it, guide me, be in this with me, you know, because then I think that's when you invite him into what you're doing, that's when he leads you towards the doors that you're like, whoa, never saw this one coming. Our whole life right now is nothing like I imagined it would be. Nothing at all, not even close. Not one thing that we're doing right now is what I had in my mind that we would be doing.
No.
Not one thing.
Yeah.
But it's all so much more than what I could have ever imagined. It's so much better.
Yeah.
God did so much more multiplication than I could have ever imagined. And like, we're barely scratching the surface.
So just take action, whatever it is. I heard an analogy that was so good about like, well, I just don't know. Like, I don't know the end, like the end route, or I don't know where I want to go as well. Well, when you get into a car at night and you turn on the headlights only go about 20 feet in front of you. It doesn't go all the way to your destination and to the end. It goes about 20 feet in front of you. And so what? You're not going to move forward because you're like, well, I can't see the destination.
Right.
You're going to go. You're going to put it in drive.
Yeah.
You're going to go forward. And as you go forward, you're going to see a little bit more. You're going to see a little bit more. And you're going to just see a little bit more every single time you're going. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, here's a corner. Okay, I got to go left. Okay. Oh, dead end. Got to turn around. Right? And that's kind of what happens in life.
The next one is about communication and marriage.
Okay.
And building and having healthy communication and marriage. So that's fun.
It's like, is that
so go?
Is that the question?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought you had like a specific question. You made it sound like the next one's about this topic. Here's the question.
No, it was just generally about building healthy communication in marriage.
Just talk to each other.
Yeah. This is such a broad it's a broad topic.
Yeah.
And obviously everyone is so, so different. I think a big part of communication is understanding what kind of communication works for your partner. Because maybe real direct, short communication works for some people, and other people need like softer, more loving communication, you know? So that's, I think that's a really big thing, because we're all wired very differently. And I think temperament is a big part of that, which if you're not familiar with temperament, temperament is like, it's a, the Arno profiling system is a clinical tool that I think came out in the 80s. That, what are their names? I wrote it down. Dr. Richard and Phyllis Arno, who founded the National Christian Counselors Association, they came up with it. So they could have a clinical tool where they could figure out someone's inborn God-given temperament, because the life we live, the circumstances we go through, our family, you know, our families of origin, our upbringing, all of that makes us some way, but it might not actually be how we are designed. You know, we have learned behavior from circumstances and the ways that we grew up. So, for me, knowing your temperament is helpful for communication, because I know what works for you and what doesn't work for you.
Right. And vice versa.
And then obviously that's like a deeper dive into a specific kind of tool that we have found really beneficial, but just having a conversation about like, how do you prefer that I communicate with you? Creating a safe space for difficult communication, I think, is very important, of being like, no matter what how hard the conversation gets, what the fight is about, like that doesn't mean that our relationship is ever under threat. Like, right. It's not that the relationship is safe no matter what. We'll just have the conversation and work through it.
Yeah. Creating a safe space for that. Mm-hmm. So that, let's say, I mean, this just happened a few weeks ago where Sarah got upset at me because she's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Oh, nothing." And then she's like, you just seem a little off. And then I said, "What was wrong?" And it was just because I was kind of zoned out, and I was thinking about something or in my head. And then she got really emotional, upset that I didn't, and just said, like, "Why don't you communicate?" Or like, "Why don't you communicate that? Why do you just like, you know, shut me out? I feel shut out about that." And then I got defensive because I'm like, I'm actually a great communicator, I think, for the most part. It's having the grace with each other in those moments. Because when I did say, "Hey, this is just like, this is what I'm feeling." And then Sarah, what I needed in that moment is just for her to listen. But she wanted to give like a solution.
Yeah, I'm a fixer.
She's a fixer. She wanted to fix it, and she wanted to get a solution and be like, "Okay, just do this and let's get over it.
Let's move
forward." I didn't want that. And so I literally said that. I said, "You know, sometimes I just want to be able to express how I'm feeling, and I just want a wife to listen to. Like, I just want you to listen as opposed to try to fix it or solution seek." And so something that's good for either side, because it's usually the guy that's trying to fix and be the fixer, I think, and be the solution seeker, is be like, you can simply ask if somebody is kind of venting, or if somebody is, you know, "Hey, do you want me to just be here and listen and empathize, or
Potential solutions or advice, or
do you want me to, you know, come up with a solution or something like that?"
Yeah.
And that way they can just be, "I just want you to listen."
Yeah.
It's great. I'm here for you.
I'm very much like, why are we talking about it if we're not going to solve it? So that's how I'm wired. That's where my brain goes immediately, is like, if there's an issue, let's get out a notepad and start to fix it. Like, that's just, that's how I am. But, you know, I appreciated that, because then I could be like, "Yes, I'm aware that's something I need to work on, and I will continue working on it. Sorry about that."
Because for me, what I was going through, like what I was thinking about, I knew, like, it wasn't a big deal
for
me.
Right.
I was just going
You know,
I was just having a moment.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to pass.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
For me. And so that's why I was like, well, there's no point in like saying what I'm
totally
thinking at this moment.
Yeah.
Because I know it's about to pass and, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to like move on.
Safe space, honest communication. Yeah. Just being transparent with each other.
Yeah.
If the person is not, if the way that they're communicating with you isn't working for you, knowing that they'll receive that well and be like, okay, I'll do better next time. How can I help now? You know, how do you grow closer to God together? What do we do to keep him at the center?
Great question.
Yeah.
What do we do, Sarah?
I think praying together, obviously each having our own individual pursuit of the Lord and our relationship with him and what he's revealing to each of us so that we can be better individuals, which then makes us a better unit. It can be difficult as humans, no matter what season you're in, to keep God at the center of a marriage. So it's just a constant checking in, a constant of like, is there something else that has crept in that like we're idolizing right now? And being transparent with that and just open communication between the two of you about your personal spiritual foundations, as well as how you're feeling when it comes to your marriage. And maybe there's obviously everyone's different in regards to maybe you go to a Bible study together. Maybe you have a small group you go to together. Like maybe you do your own Bible reading plan, the two of you, or maybe you're reading some other kind of book together. There's all kinds of stuff you can do to kind of anchor him at the center. But I think it's a constant checking in and a constant ebb and flow, since we're humans, of it being hard work to keep him at the center.
Agreed.
Nothing to add?
Nope, I got nothing.
Wow, okay. The last one I found to be very interesting, and it's about, she just said, seeking therapy versus seeking the Lord.
Well, I think it is both and.
Same.
I don't know if you necessarily pick one or the other. Mm-hmm. I think it's both and, especially if you're somebody who has a faith and that's important to you, then finding a therapist or a counselor who also has a faith foundation,
yeah,
I think is really important. Mm-hmm. And so the thing with the counselor is that, or a therapist, is that it's a third party that doesn't have an emotional attachment to your actions and to your life necessarily,
yeah,
so that they can see and just take the actions and take what you're saying without all the emotion in it, and then give you tools to overcome it. Mm-hmm. And then the God comes in to where you, I mean, if it's a Christian counselor, there will be some things that are rooted in that, mm-hmm. whether it's prayer, reading, journaling, different things like mm-hmm. that you can use hand in hand with God, because mm-hmm. ultimately he needs to make a change.
Yes. He's a part of your process for sure.
I don't think there's anything wrong with going to therapy or going to a counselor. I don't think that makes you less Christian or less like, or somebody that has less faith or
Definitely
anything.
Not.
The whole point is that they are seeing gaps that maybe you don't see.
Yeah.
And can tangibly tell you these gaps mm-hmm. that maybe you don't get when you pray. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody, I don't know if I've really met anybody who audibly hears God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's both and.
I would agree. It's just like any other goal that you have for change or progress in your life is inviting him into your journey. So you want the Lord present in your journey. For like for us with our counselors, they're always, they pray at the beginning, they pray at the end. And I like that because it keeps the ultimate person who can change us present in the process.
Right.
And then when you do your homework, because any good counselor is going to give you homework. And if you don't get homework from your counselor, I would say beware personally.
No, that's be prepared. Not be aware.
Just beware.
Oh, beware.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're is always, if you want to make progress, there's always going to be work to be done in between sessions.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that can, like, God is totally part of that work in regards to inviting him into that, praying through the things that maybe you need to release when it comes to forgiveness or...
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, about your forgiveness journey.
Yeah.
Like, our counselors helped you realize that you had unforgiveness and bitterness with maybe, you know, your parents, your ex-husband, different things. And especially with your ex-husband, you had, but then you had to do the work outside of that.
Yes.
To pray.
Right.
And actually ask God to get rid of that bitterness and unforgiveness until he did. Mm-hmm. And it took how long? A year?
A year.
It was a whole year process. It wasn't like, oh, I know what to do. Oh, I have this I didn't realize. Okay. Hey, I forgive him. And then the next day you were good.
Right.
It was a year of praying every single day to ask for him to take out bitterness, take out, you know, wishing bad things, you know, take out this root of evil that is in that's inside of you.
Yeah.
And it took a full year of you doing that every single day. And then overnight, it went away.
Yeah.
Like it got sucked out like a vacuum, which is such a beautiful thing because it just goes to show that like everything, it was a consistency of every day that of doing something, maybe not seeing a result, that all of a sudden it seemed like it happened overnight.
Yep.
I don't know if it would have happened overnight if you didn't, if you weren't diligent with praying every day.
Definitely
about
not.
That.
You have to partner with God if you want to change. But having a third party perspective on top of that, I think is also very necessary so that you get objective understanding of what's going on inside of you and you can be given those tools to heal from it.
Amen.
Amen.
There's the rub.
There's the rub. You want you want a few silly questions?
Yeah, let's do some silly questions. Okay. All right. Time for a silly round.
Most common one was, do our neighbors say anything about us singing?
Not yet.
Nope.
We have yet to have anybody.
Not a one complaint about it.
Yeah. Which
or not
is,
even a, not
which
even
is a
comment.
Miracle.
Actually, we did have one person be like, I think I've heard singing in the hall, but they live around like on the other side of the floor. You can only hear.
Do you guys have a cat that just like.
You can only hear things when you're in the hall. You cannot hear from apartment to apartment.
Yeah.
Which
the soundproof is actually incredible.
New York City. It's miraculous. Thank you, Jesus, for an
works
apartment.
Works out for us.
Yeah, where we can skrelt and no one hears us. but I think a guy in the hall once heard and was like, I did hear some singing, but it sounded very professional. And I was like, oh, thank
that's
you.
Good.
That's good. That's a plus. Yeah. That's the only comment that we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
This is fun. If you could learn any skill instantly, what would it be?
Flying.
That's not a skill.
Invisibility.
It's not superpowers.
Oh.
A skill.
I mean, isn't that skillful? If you can fly, it's pretty skilled.
It has to be a skill, a realistic skill that people have.
Okay.
Invisibility.
Either, I would have to say either piano or bilingual in Spanish.
Ooh, actually, yeah, I was gonna say piano for sure to just be able to like sight read music or like honestly just hear something and be able to play it. But the language one might be... I think I would like to instantly know Spanish. That would be really helpful.
Oh my gosh, it would be awesome.
That'll be really helpful.
There's so many moments where I'm like, man, I wish I could just go right into speaking Spanish to somebody.
Okay, yeah, maybe I.
But
that
I don't
want
to put. I don't want to put the work in.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future.
All right. So I'll do piano. You do that.
Oh, okay. Then we can.
We can splitsies.
Okay. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Pizza. It has to be. I mean, if I had to choose and I had to make my own. Like, if I could choose the pizza, it would be the healthiest bread.
Well, yeah, because if it's made right, it's like a fully well-rounded meal.
Right. So, like, whole grain, you know, no pesticides, no nothing.
Yeah, like good cheese.
Yeah, farm whatever, to table,
grass
pepperoni.
Fed, farm to table pepperoni. Pepperoni from your backyard.
Grass-fed pepperoni.
Grass-fed
sausage. And then...
Lots
and then
of veggies.
Same with all the veggies,
yeah.
Like pepper, onion, mushroom, spinach. I'm getting hungry. I'm grass-fed cheese.
What about some broccoli? I put broccoli on pizza. I think if I had to eat pizza for the rest of time, I would choose to put broccoli on it. And then I just pick it off when I didn't feel like having broccoli.
Sure,
but then it's there when I want it.
Yeah. I mean, eventually you're going to get, you know, you're going to get sick of anything that you eat every day, but that would be my choice.
I think I would have to agree.
You would be able to.
It's the most bang for your buck, I feel like, in regards to.
And I've yet to not want pizza.
Yeah.
Like when somebody says, hey, I'm going to get pizza. I'm never like, I don't really feel like it. No, I don't think I've ever said that. I think I've always wanted to get pizza or eat it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree. Sorry, I don't have a different answer. Just copying your answers.
Yeah, like every single one.
Yeah.
Except for the flying and the invisibility one.
But then we did kind of land on the same answer.
You're boring. Sorry. I'm just, you know, someone had to say it.
Well,
comment if Sarah is boring. If you think
you're
Sarah's
my best
boring,
friend,
comment.
So who's more boring now? who's more boring, me or my best friend?
All right, forward this to somebody that you think is less boring than both of us, and hit the subscribe button. What haven't I said yet? Hit it with your knuckle. I think, you can hit it with your knuckle. That way you're not getting any germs on the hands. You can just hit it with the knuckle, and that way it's kind of like those keys. We like to end our podcast by saying goodbye.
I made a shift.
Why'd you shift? You're not supposed to do that.
Well, I made a game time decision. I made a game time decision because we kind of landed on the same note. I needed to make it more interesting. Hey, this is, like you said before, this is our
comment
podcast.
Below we if make Sarah cheated. All right.